Here we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Well, I'm glad to see all of you. You got your clock set back. We were liable to be walking out of church this morning and somebody be walking up. John Boyd isn't here today, but his dad, Joe Boyd, one time did that. He was walking up the old building over there. He was walking up as all of us were walking out. He forgot to set his clock. Didn't come for Sunday school. So such is life, huh? All right, let's look at beginning at verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word we have, and we thank you for the blessings of being able to meet together. And Lord, we thank you for our safety and so many blessings that we have. We pray for all the people in Japan and other places where there's war and trouble and turmoil. And God, we just have to be thankful that you've given us peace and safety and health and blessing. We do give you thanks for all that you give us. Help us to get something out of your word this morning. Give me freedom and ease, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a passage here dealing with what New Testament church had to deal with back in Paul's day. And we don't see so much of it right now as thinking of Temple of Diana, or giving your sons to Moloch, or some other something like that. But back in this day, and in the town of Corinth, there was plenty of pagan worship. It was open, it was the average worship, normal worship. And so, in this first part of this chapter, he has dealt with Israel's sins, and what God did to his own people Israel. As an example to the church, don't rely that you're a child of God and that you belong to the church of the living God and that you can sin and get away with it. You can't sin and get away with it. You're going to get yourself in trouble when you sin. And all of us sin more than we need to. And all of us take it too lightly. But sin has a consequence. And that's what he's showing here. And that's God's natural order of purpose. Everything in life is built around a purpose. And all of God's creation is to bring him glory. And that's you and me. We're to bring him glory. Now, we bring him glory when we repent of our sins.
Amen.
When we recognize our sins and repent of our sins, we bring him glory. Because Jesus has paid for our sins. So the beautiful thing of the gospel, and I don't think there's any religion in the world that comes anywhere close to the beauty of salvation in Jesus Christ, anywhere in the world, of any time and period.
Amen.
It is just so far surpassing everything else. And yet we want to know, how far can I go?
Yes.
I've been asked this question I don't know how many times. Brother, how far can I go till it's sin? How high can I put my skirt? How low can I bring my blouse? How? Why don't you worry about how close you can get to God? But all of us are like that. We think, where is my line that I have to not step across? And that's one of our problems. We're not looking to seek God. Now, one of the things in the end of this chapter, he says, do everything for the glory of God. That'll make a difference. In the way you dress. In the way you talk. In where you go. Now, he says, first of all, wherefore, and of course that refers back to the first part of the chapter, look at all these sins, look at all the problems, look at all the death and trouble that came to them because of sin. So he said, flee from idolatry. Run. Don't play with idolatry. Run from idolatry. I quit a lot of things, and I know I haven't quit enough, but I quit a lot of things because they come from Catholicism. Now, I don't want to offend any Catholics in here, and of course, I'm going to be rebuking myself here in a few minutes about offending, but I don't want anything. I don't want to be a part of anything that came out of that religion. I simply don't want to be a part of it. So, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I don't St. Patrick. I don't celebrate. In fact, if I forget and wear green, I repent. You know, I just don't celebrate those days or Halloween or whatever because of the way that they came about and were brought into Christianity and how they've been accepted even by Protestantism today. The old Puritans would have turned over in their graves. And of course, the old Puritans are the ones I read. I don't have a whole lot of modern commentaries, but I've got some old Puritan commentaries, and those old boys were tough. Some of you think I'm mean and hard. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's look at it again. Flee from idolatry. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. If you see anything that looks like idolatry, you ought to run from it. Now, think about this. The Bible also says in another place, covetousness, which is idolatry.
That's right,
amen. I bet there's not a person in this room that's not covetous. In America, today, with television and radio and billboards, and the amount of money that we have, I know we're feeling like a tough time because some of you don't have jobs or don't have a good enough job, and that's disaster. But think about Japan this morning. That's disaster. And I think they said something like it was worse than 300 Nagasakis. The destruction that's come on there. Now, he said, flee from idolatry, and I speak as to wise men. Now, I'm not sure. I think he's really saying, I wish I had some wise men. Would you wise men pay attention to what I'm saying? I don't think he's saying like Job did, you three are the ones, and wisdom will die with you. I don't think he's being that sarcastic. I think he's asking some wise men. Because what I'm taking up in these verses here in this chapter, it's hard stuff. You need to make some real decisions. And some of them are really personal decisions. And some of them make a lot of difference. It depends on whether it's just a personal preference or whether it's doctrine. Now, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Let's get the wise men in the church and you judge what I say. That's what he's saying. So I'm looking for some wise men. Some wise men that can judge what I say and what the scripture says. And let's get it right if we possibly can. You know, we don't always understand everything as we ought to. And part of that is our own selfishness. And of course, self is a big part of what we're talking about this morning. A part of that is just God hadn't revealed it to us. Part of it's laziness. We just haven't studied it long enough, haven't prayed about it long enough. God might give it to you if you prayed for it long enough. But at any rate, I speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Now, the next verse or two, he's talking about the Lord's table. He's saying, make a judgment, and he's talking about the Lord's table. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. How do you partake at the Lord's table? You eat it. If you pass it by, you didn't partake. So you belong because you eat. That which we bring, you are a partaker of it. And of course, it represents the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're all one bread, we're all one body. And that refers primarily to the local church, but it refers also to every born-again believer. Yes. Going to be in the bride of Christ. But here in the local church, we're a body. Now, we get to be good friends, some of us that come all the time and come for a long time. Man, there's a bond that builds up that's just really just like family. What a blessing. But now, I think the point that he's trying to make as he's going to talk about this idolatry and going to feast and whatever. Here they knew what he was talking about. Now, wise men, think about it. When we take communion, when we take the Lord's Supper, when we eat that bread that's broken, we show we're a part of this one body. That's simple. And he's using that example. Here's the example that he looks. Israel after the flesh. Verse 18. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? You see, those that brought their offerings, some of the offerings were brought by the men, and when they offered them, they and their family could eat of it too. And some of them, they didn't eat anything. Didn't touch it at all. And the great majority of them, the priest got. And the priest partook of them. And that's what the priest family was fed by, all of these sacrifices that were coming in on the altar there. Now you see that being partaker of the altar, look at verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? No, we all know there's only one God. I don't care if you think you've got other gods out there, and there are gods many in the world. Even today, there are many, many, many gods to people. But that little stone, that piece of wood, that statue, whatever it is that you say is a god, is not a god. It can't speak. It can't hear your prayer. It can't answer your prayer. It is not God. And so it's idolatry. Now, he's saying, what say I then? That the idol is anything? No, that's not anything. That which is offered in sacrifice to idols, anything? No. But wait a minute. Look at verse 20. Wise men, pay attention to verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. If I go, now, we're going to get into some things here in this chapter about freedom and fellowship. It does not mean that I have the right to go to a idol temple, pagan temple, and participate in their worship because they invited me. That's not what he's saying. When he says going to a feast down here a little bit later, he's talking about somebody inviting you over to their house. Hey, we're gonna have a party. We're gonna invite you. All got all the family. Why don't you just come on? And he said, if you'd be disposed to go ahead. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. And if you give thanks for it, you can eat scorpions and snakes and even shrimp. Shrimp I use for bait. My wife eats shrimp. I don't know what that says. She drinks coffee also. I don't even cuss, much less drink coffee. They sacrifice to devils. If you go into their temple, you go into their worship, you partake of the meat, the meal, the worship in this idol temple, you are sitting at the devil's table. And he said, you can't do both. That doesn't mean you can't, but you better not. You better not. Because of what God says in just another verse or two. And maybe the next verse. You are partaking in a worship of devils. What kind of trouble are you getting into that way? You have no clue. You know, Solomon, I think it's chapter 7 of Proverbs. It's talking about the young man that walks out on the street and hears this woman, and she's got a mouth smoother than oil, and boy, she's dressed sexy, and she says, you know, my husband's not home. We can have fun all night long. I've got my bed made up, and boy, it's all perfumed. And he says, he doesn't know that the dead are there. He doesn't know the dead are there. He goes in and thinking, oh boy, I had a lucky day. Boy, I made it today. Wow, how lucky could you be? He doesn't know who's there. You can get into sin, and the devil can come into your life and do a whole lot of destruction. But I want you to remember the Israelites back in the Old Testament. There was a prophet that went out. The guy would pay him big money to curse Israel. And every time he got up to curse Israel, he had to bless them. And the guy said, what am I paying you for? I mean, come on. Well, he gave advice to that king. He said, send your women down. Get them in sin. God will curse them. God will curse them. You might get destroyed by the devil himself. You might get into some demon worship. And I don't know what all that entails, to tell you the truth. It's scary to me.
That's right. Amen.
I believe in demons.
Yes.
I believe they are. I believe they are the fallen angels that fell with Satan. I believe he's their head. But I think, according to what I read in the Bible about demons, fallen angels, they're territorial. I've thought a few times there must be some old top kick sergeant in the devil's crowd that's sitting right on this church to give us some fits, give us a hard time. And there's probably one all over all of San Antonio and one all over the state of Texas, and I don't know how many they are and how far they would go. You don't want to mess with devils. You sure don't want them messing with your life. If you are a born-again Christian, you belong to a body of Christ, you partake of the Lord's table, you are a part of the house of God, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you need to be careful where you go.
That's right. Amen.
You really do?
Yes, you do.
Now, we come to the point of liberty, freedom. And Paul is not really talking about doctrinal liberty and doctrinal freedom, because he made it very clear in the Bible. He stood up to Peter. He stood up to Barnabas. He stood up to all of the Judaizers that came down. Just read Galatians. He said, I didn't put up with them for 1 minute. It's not saying in this thing that we have to be sweet to everybody all the time. It would be nice if we could. But somebody has to stand up for doctrine. Somebody has to take a stand on sin. Somebody has to take a stand on what the Word of God has to say and what it doesn't say. Well, that upsets a lot of people sometimes. I mean, let me explain one thing to you. Almost everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. I say, Jesus Christ is God. Well, that offends a whole lot of people.
That's right.
I say, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, that offends the Mary worshipers. I say, you don't need any priest but Jesus Christ. Well, that offends all the people that have priests. What I'm trying to say is, some things are offensive and you cannot avoid the offense. Not to stay true to the gospel or to stay true to the word of God. Now, he's talking about devils, and you don't want to be worshiping the devils, but what about if you got a friend that's a devil worshiper? You have a friend. He's a neighbor. Some of the best neighbors I ever had were lost people. In Guatemala, I lived next door to a man, and he had several of the finest children I ever met in my life. They'd come over and take my kids to the fair and other things like that. They were sweet girls, beautiful girls. They were lost people. They invited us over to eat. And I used to tell my kids, because the missionaries have a lot of problems with this. Up here, we don't have too many problems this way, but I'd say, don't you turn up your nose at anything. Right. I don't want to hear it. You just eat it.
Right.
Just stuff it down. I don't care whether you like it or not, you eat it. Don't you turn your nose up and offend somebody. He's saying, if somebody has a feast and you be disposed to go, go ahead. Well, wait a minute. The meat they're going to serve you is the same meat they offered in sacrifice down at the demon's tabernacle, down to the idolatrous place. It's the same meat. Now, whether they brought it directly from the temple or that meat was sold in the markets, he said, you can eat that meat.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not going to hurt you.
That's right.
God cleansed everything.
Right.
He's given you anything you want to eat. The Old Testament laws about what the Jews could eat were particular and especially for them. They're not for you. They really aren't. And the same way, you go out here and they've got some food, but you say, well, I've got a real tender conscience. I don't want to be messing with devils, and I know these are devil worshipers. I know these people are lost. I know they're pagans. He said, don't worry about it. If they invite you, go ahead and go. Now, that's not to a temple. That's to a house.
That's right.
Or a restaurant, an eating place, or something like that.
Yep.
Paul never approved for you to go to a devil-worshipping temple and partake of their worship.
Right.
And if you eat, you would be partaking.
Yep.
But after that meat has left that temple and been sold over here at the meat market, you don't have to ask which one of these things was sacrificed to Diana. Which one was sacrificed to somebody else? Just go ahead and eat. Pick out the best that you like and eat it. And that's fine. Now then, he says something, and this is problematical sometime. What if there's a brother with a weak conscience? And he comes by and he says to you, hey, Brother Lindell, did you know that meat was offered to an idol? Doggone. Paul said, don't eat it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't consider most of you of tender conscience.
Right, yeah.
I think most of you are old hard heads.
Yeah.
The guys coming down from Jerusalem to the Galatians, they weren't people of tender conscience. They're hard heads trying to impose laws on Christians. They were Jews trying to impose circumcision and the commandments of Moses And even the dietary things on Christian churches. And Paul said, put up with them for an hour. Don't put up with them. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not entangled again in laws, commandments, and slavery. What it is. So, we got a problem here. Now, what would I consider, and of course, I'm looking, I need some wise men. I may not be wise enough. What would I consider somebody that I would watch out for? Well, what if we just converted an old drunk? And we take the Lord's table and we pass out real wine. And he takes that and it tempts him to go out and get drunk. Years ago, I made the decision. Now, I've been in churches and I've taken the wine. That's the only time I've taken it other than NyQuil. I drink a lot of NyQuil. Especially this last month, I've been loading up on NyQuil. And as a diabetic, you don't need that alcohol. Don't tell them what they're going to throw me out of the doctor's office next day. I made up my mind a long time ago, any church where I had influence, we'd take grape juice.
That's right.
Grape juice. And that's just because of a recovered alcoholic, an old drunk, or a young drunk.
Yep.
All right, what about movies? Maybe you don't mind an R-rated movie. Well, maybe somebody over here gets offended. And they say, well, we're all going out together, and somebody says, well, I really don't want to go there. That's R-rated. Oh, it doesn't make any difference. You can handle it. It's not a problem. It's probably for violence or whatever. We all love vicarious violence, don't we? Most of us do. Well, what you ought to do is not go.
Amen.
Go to the PG with him.
Yeah.
You can go see it next week by yourself if you want that for your freedom. What he's saying is you need to submit yourself to others.
That's right.
You shouldn't all be thinking about what I want.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
One of those old Puritans said, self miscarries us all.
Yeah.
Boy, it does. You know where we get in trouble? In our marriage, self. We get in trouble in the church because I want this. I want it this way. We get in trouble with our friends. I'm not going to do that, or I want to do it this way, or it's got to be my way. We used to laugh about it and say the kid that had the bat and ball, you know, if he didn't get to be pitcher, he'd take his bat and ball and go home. Ball game's over. Nobody else had a bat and ball. That's the way it is in Christianity. And he's saying, think about the welfare of others. That's what this chapter is about, the last part of it. You think about the welfare of others, not just you. You're not the important one. By the way, who is the important one? God. I don't give up myself for really somebody else. But I do for God. God's number one. And we're supposed to do everything we do to the glory of God. Now, would it glorify God if I offend some young Christian and he gets messed up? It's not going to help the church. It's not going to help him. And like I said, there's a difference between young ones and those that are just old hard heads that want to force their rule on you. I would not consider myself a weak brother in that way. I don't think you could do anything that would make me stop going to church. I might get into some sin and make me stop going and stop worshiping the Lord. But there are a lot of people, young in the Lord, young in the faith, they can get destroyed.
That's right.
And if it's just for your selfishness, why, man, that's poor.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why he says, look for the welfare of another.
That's right.
Think about another's wealth. Think about somebody else getting rich on the Bible. Think about somebody else growing out of their sinful habits and growing out of their language and growing out of lust and all sorts of things that you've been delivered from by the grace of God.
Yes.
You may still be bothered by some of it. We're all bothered by some of it.
Yep.
Bible says all men are liars. It sure does take a lot of effort to tell the truth all the time, especially when you get in trouble every time you tell it. So, he uses as an example the Lord's Supper, Israel and her sacrifices, and then he comes down to verse 20 and it says, the things which a Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. I would not you should have fellowship with devils.
Right.
And then you cannot drink the Lord's cup and the cup of devils. Sooner or later, you're going to have to choose one.
That's right.
You're not going to walk both ways very long. You may be walking really close to the Lord and you drop off for one little thing and then another little thing and before long, you're not coming to the Lord's house.
That's right.
Doesn't take long either.
Amen.
Now look at verse 22. This is just such a bit of wisdom. Look what it says. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Now, I don't know whether you read your Bible enough to know, but God is a jealous God, and He so calls Himself that. Jealous God. Well, I'm a jealous man. Don't be trying to date my lady. Don't be trying to tempt my lady. You're liable to tempt me to do something really bad. God's jealous. God is jealous of your worship. God is jealous of your love. God is jealous of your money. God is jealous of your attitude. I want to be loved. And I thank God for love. Come on in, Don. He's the deaf, he can't hear me. Come on in, old man. I haven't got to you yet. Provoke the Lord. Have you ever provoked anybody? You ever provoked anybody? Have you pushed them till you made them mad enough they knocked your block off? Yes. Yes, one of the worst whippings I ever got. I dated another guy's girl. He considered her his girl. She didn't necessarily consider that, but I didn't either. And we pulled up to the root beer stand and he was about a year older than me and whatever, but he said, I'm going to have to whip you. I said, okay. So we drove the cars down a block or two. I knew this guy was a real fast fighter. He was a good boxer. Lightning fist. I'm not lightning anything. I'm pretty strong. I hit him first because I knew I better get it, and I was going to knock him out with that, and all I did was hit his teeth. And scarred both of my knuckles. And then he beat the snot out of me. My mother the next morning looked in on me and wanted to know what gang had beat me up. You can provoke somebody and you might be sorry you provoked them. Well now, a guy that knows how to box or a very strong person or somebody very powerful might be dangerous to provoke them. How about God? What kind of an idiot are you? And I'm telling you, I believe there are a lot of idiots in this world. I believe there are a lot of idiots in the church. I've heard statements made in the church. I cringed. I just cringed. What are you saying? What are you thinking about? Who do you think you're dealing with? You're dealing with God. Do you know what God means? I love this song. Written by the guy that edited our hymn book, John W. Peterson. It says, it took a miracle to set the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it was a miracle of love and grace. You know how powerful God is? God said, earth, go right there. And earth went right there. And she's winding down, they tell us. Don't tell how long it's going to be till it winds down. In fact, our sun is burning up, they tell us. How many thousands of years we've got before it quits furnishing enough heat for this place? Do you know who you're messing with? Have you read the news? Have you heard the news? Have you seen the news these last 3 days? You look at what when God shifts a little something, move the island of Japan 8 feet. That's a pretty good earthquake. God comes in Katrina, and everybody says, Mother Nature. It's Father God.
Right, that's right.
It is Father God. It's not Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is not very tender right then.
Yeah, right.
It can happen to all of us. Listen, that scares the daylights out of me.
That's right.
I'm glad I don't live in California. I don't know what sort of tornado may hit me here in Texas or what hurricane may get me, but boy, what a problem.
Right.
And you're going to provoke God? God comes and talks to your heart, touches you and said, you ought to do this? You say, no. No. Somebody reads the Bible to you and you say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do this, this, this. You ever said that? You ever done anything like that? Sure, probably have. And you look at young idiots all the time and sometimes old idiots that just provoke God. I had a friend. He went out to visit some other friends, that 18-year-old boy, and he tried to witness to him. The boy was lost. And the boy just told him, nah, blew him off. I'm going to sow my wild oats and have my fun. Got in on his motorcycle that night and rode into an 18-wheeler. I wouldn't provoke God if I were you. If I were you, I would walk real careful with crepe-soled shoes. I wouldn't want to disturb God. You can't handle what God will do to you. Now, I'm not saying everything that happens to people happened because they were bigger sinners than anybody else. No, time and chance happens to them all. It could happen to Christians. It can happen to lost people. It rains on the good and the just and the ungood, the wicked. But what I'm telling you is when God moves on you, you got nothing you can do about it. You just don't have a thing. Why? Look at the people in the hospital. You don't have to think about Japan. Go out there to the hospital. Walk through a while. I visited a man that was in the cancer ward at Brook Army for years ago. And I visited him for a period of about 6 months, every week. And walking through that cancer ward at Brooks would give me shivers. Man, you stand here healthy today, you ought to thank God. You can see and you can hear and you can walk and you can drive your own car. You ought to be thanking God.
Amen.
You ought to be praising God that He hasn't had things happen to you. You want to provoke the Lord to jealousy? You want to make God mad? You don't want to make God mad. The one thing, you say, do you fear God? I fear God. Well, you're not supposed to fear God. I fear God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I got too much I love.
Yeah, that's right.
Good night. I've still got my wife. Amen. This month. It's this week. 56 years. Praise the Lord. Anybody would stay with me for 56 years? I am thankful. Praise the Lord. I don't want to provoke God. I could lose my wife. I don't want to provoke God. I could lose one of my children. All five of my children are still alive. I've got 30 grandchildren. And I prayed when my boys were in war. I prayed for them every day. Oh, God. They're walking against those bullets. They're in there in combat zone. Protect them and bring them home. He brought my three grandsons home. Now, I'm not saying anything about anybody else. I'm just saying God answered my prayers. He didn't have to. And He might not have if I were provoking Him. You ought to be real careful how you act towards God.
That's right.
Just really.
Amen.
Okay. Look at verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient.
Right.
All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay. Wise men. We need some wise men. What is expedient? What is useful? What is useful and convenient? Expedient. What edifies? Remember, we're doing everything for the glory of God. That's what it says down there a few more verses down. Everything for the glory of God. I am free as a Christian. I can do as I please. I am not under the law. It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus paid my debt. That law does not apply to me anymore. Every time the devil raised it up and see, you missed right here. I said, yes, I did. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. I admit I sinned. I'm not going to justify myself. Yes, I sinned. And that gets me credit with Jesus Christ. That's what it likes if we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It might be lawful. It might not be the best thing to do. You might have freedom to do it on your own, but it might not be something that would help somebody else. And in the church, we ought to be thinking about somebody else. Man, if Jesus taught one thing, that's it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Amen.
That's the law. You want the law brought down into simple, simple language? Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
That's
love. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. A lot of things tear down.
That's right, amen.
A lot of criticism is not meant for good.
That's right.
A lot of criticism is just you're a complaining so-and-so.
That's right.
And you ought to be ashamed of it.
Yep.
You ought to repent of it every once in a while. You might not can stop it, but you ought to repent of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you try to build somebody up? Edify, an edifice, it's a building.
Yeah.
It's building somebody up.
Amen.
These guys that go out here to Gold's Gym and pump iron every day and run 10 miles and whatever, they're edifying themselves. They get themselves stronger. They're building themselves up, and they're getting a core middle like mine. All things may be lawful for you. You may be able to eat anything you want to eat. You may be able to go anywhere you want to go, but it's not expedient.
That's right.
And it may not edify. And that's a rule that you need to take up.
Amen.
That ought to be your personal rule. Yes, I am free. I've been set free by Jesus Christ. I'm free from the law. No condemnation for me. But I have the choice to go one place or another. And just because I want to go to a certain place doesn't mean I should go. What about the welfare of others? This chapter right here is talking about the welfare of others at the end of it. What is going to be their good? Well, then I ought to think about, is this really convenient? Is this really practical? Is this really edifying? Is this going to do me some good? Let me tell you, you guys that are dating, guys and gals that are dating, there's a whole lot of things you just have to say no to.
That's right.
I am not going that way. I am not drinking that drink.
That's right.
Take me home. And if whoever it is, the boy or the girl, doesn't like you because of that, boy, you're better off.
Amen.
You're so much better off. This generation right now, I fear for this generation because it is so loose.
Right.
What you see in Hollywood and what you read in these books and what you see on television, that's the way a great many of Americans think. I don't know whether it's the majority or not, but there's sure a bunch of them. And we're in trouble.
Right.
I would hate to be dating now.
Right.
But you got to make some choices on what is convenient and what edifies. What will build you and what will build those around you? And if they don't want to be built, hey, you walk for God by yourself. If no one goes with me, I'm going to carry on.
Amen.
I'd like to walk with some people. Oh, it's a lot nicer.
Yeah.
Even to have 25, 30 people. To have 10 people that you meet with week by week in love,
Amen.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
Tremendous blessing.
Great.
It's awful hard to walk alone. But sometimes you need to. Because if you go the other direction, you're going to have so many problems just a few years down the road.
That's right.
They're going to eat your lunch.
That's right.
You don't want to be what Hollywood puts out.
Amen.
You don't want a girl like Hollywood puts
right.
out.
That's right.
I'd sure hate to have a wife that had to be operated on every year to pump something up or take a wrinkle out here or there. Good night. Will it edify? What will it do to somebody besides me? You're just not the important one. What will it do for God? And I don't have any more time.